ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹா. ஹரி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமிதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹா. ஹரி ஓம். கட்டோபனிஷத் சாப்டர் 2 ஸ்லோக 10. யதேவேக ததமுத்ர யதமுத்ர ததன் விஹ மிருத்யோஹ ச மிருத்யுமாப்னோதி யயஹ நானேவ பஷ்யதி. So this is the summary of shlokas 5 to 9, which we had already seen in the last webinar. So if we remember the last mantra, what does Yamadharmaraja say there? Iha, in this mantra, in the 10th mantra, Iha means in this individual reflecting medium, that is Veshti Upadav, whether you take the Sthula Shariram or Sukshma Shariram or Karana Shariram, what is important is the micro medium, whichever is the importance. And yet eva vartate, where consciousness is obtaining, what consciousness is obtaining. So the consciousness which is manifest, which is obtaining in the Vyashti Upadi, the body, whatever it is, Tata Mutra, the Samashti Upadi, the macro reflecting medium, whether you take the Stula Prapancha or the Sukshma Prapancha or the Karana Prapancha, or you take all the three put together, the Samashti Prapancha. So Amutra, Amutra means Samashti Upadav Api Tadeva, the same consciousness alone is there. So whether you take it in the individual Veshti level or at the Samashti level, it is the same consciousness that is there, Tadeva. So even though superficially in one place consciousness seemed to be dull, for example, dull consciousness, in some other place consciousness seems to be very bright, the dullness and brightness do not really belong to the consciousness, but it belongs to only the reflecting medium. So for example, like a 0-watt bulb and a 1000-watt bulb, the difference in brightness that we experience, it does not belong to the electricity, but it belongs to the medium, but only belongs to the manifesting medium. Similarly, the chaitanyam that is obtaining in an ant and also in a very large, another upadhi, like an elephant, the consciousness are one and the same. Whether it is an ant or whether it is an elephant, the consciousness is one and the same. Actually, Shankaracharya, he tells it in the Manisha Panchakam. There is another text. Maybe if we have time, we will look at it at some point later. யா பிரம்மாதி பிபிலஹா அந்த தனுஷ புரோதா ஜெகத் சாட்சிணி. பிரம்மாதி பிபீலகாந்தா, பிபீலகாந்தா மீன்ஸ் ஹியர் பிரம்மா, பிரம்மா ரெஃபர்ஸ் டு தி சமஷ்டி, தி விராட் அண்ட் தி ஹிரண்ய கர்ப்பா, வாட் எவர் வி கேன் கால் இட். பிபீலகா, பிபீலகா மீன்ஸ் ஆண்ட். ஸோ வாட் எவர் அப்டைன்ஸ் இன் தி ஆண்ட், இன் அன் ஆண்ட் பிபீலகா, தி கான்ஷியஸ்னஸ் அப்டைனிங் இன் தி ஆண்ட் இஸ் சேம் வாட் எவர் ஒன் குட் திங்க் ஆஃப் ஈவன் இன் பிரம்மன். So that is why we have said earlier in a different context that there is no question of higher consciousness or lower consciousness. We think jnanis have got a higher consciousness and an ajnani has got a lower consciousness. That's all we think. But it is very clear from this point that consciousness is only one. There is no higher or no lower consciousness. And when we say jnanis have got higher consciousness, how do we really understand that? Not that Jnani's consciousness is higher, but his mind, because of the sadhana, chatushtaya, sampatti, etc., his mind is superior. The subtler medium is more finer. So, sattva pradhana antakranaha, sadhana, chatushtaya, sampanna antakranaha. That's what he has. And therefore, the consciousness seems to be exalted consciousness in the case of a Jnani. And if you take a criminal, the consciousness seems to be low. Means what? There is no higher or lower consciousness. What is said here is, he has the reflecting medium, the grossest in his case. So, yadeva iha tadeva amutra. And Yama Dharmaraja, he thinks that is a very, very important lesson. And so he is worried that his student might sleep off during this lesson. So he repeats it by just only reversing it. He says, yada amutra tadanum tadanu iha. That's what he says. So whatever it is, yata iha tad amutra. Now, yata amutra tadanu iha. So same thing he is repeating. That means what? The consciousness obtaining in there means the samashti upadhi. That refers to the samashti upadhi, the total matter. In the same consciousness obtaining, is the same consciousness obtaining in the individual matter also. So whatever is obtaining in the total chaitanyam, the total matter, whatever the total samashti upadhi is the same obtaining in the vyashti also. And therefore, we understand there is no essential difference at all among all the jivas. There is no difference at all. And how many consciousnesses are there? There is only one consciousness. And how many bulbs are there? There are so many bulbs. How many 0-watt bulbs? How many 1000-watt bulbs? One can decide for oneself. For example, at least I know I may be a 5-watt bulb. Many of you may be 1000-watt bulbs, perhaps. Therefore, all of us are one and the same with respect to consciousness. In Gita, actually, we saw Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shunischaivam Swapakecham Panditaham Samadarshinaha. Wise people do not see the body-mind medium at all. They recognize that everyone is the Atma behind the body. And when I say the body-mind media, I will see differences, I will see gradation. I will do comparison, I will develop a complex, because 5 watt and 500 watts are different. So the one who is absorbed in the medium will observe only plurality, will only compare between people, and will develop lot of complexes, inferiority complex, superiority complex, all of them will there. And Yama Dharmaraja says, not only we will observe plurality, if we are absorbed in the medium, the body-mind complex, we will see mortality also. So, not only we will observe plurality, we will also observe mortality. In addition, all types of emotional problems like raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, everything. So, because the reflected medium is subject to mortality. So, if I take myself to be the body, I will always have insecurity. And once insecurity comes, the struggle is endless. Because whatever one has, insecurity will not go away. Whatever amount of material things we can try to acquire, insecurity will never go away. Because the mortal body can never be made immortal. Even if one has $5 billion, or lot of property, whatever one may have, the mortal body can never be made immortal. Whereas if I know I am not the mortal body, but I am the consciousness, immortal consciousness, functioning through or transacting through the mortal body medium, then I will never have the feeling of insecurity at all. The bodies may be changed, like what Vasamsi Jirnani Yada Vihaya, as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita. So the body will be changed like changing the eyeglasses, because it is a medium of transaction. Once in a few years, we have to check whether the power is enough or not for the eyes. And one day, any glass you put, you may not see also perhaps. Therefore, the change of glasses does not mean the change of myself. When I take myself to be consciousness, I will take everyone of the other person also as consciousness. Because as I take myself, so will I look upon others also. So if I am a physical person, conscious of height, weight, color, dress, all those things, then naturally when I look at someone else also, I will see also their height, their weight, their figure, their status, all those things also. So if I am a thinker, I will look at only your thoughts. So, as I am, I will look at others also. So, in the same way.
So if I take myself as the consciousness behind the body, I will take everyone also as consciousness, which is called Advaita Darshana. So when I develop that kind of an ability, that kind of an attitude, then it means it is Advaita Darshanam or Abheda Darshanam, Ekatva Darshanam. So that is the difference. So it is not that plurality is absent. Plurality is very much present. Not that it is absent, it is very much present, but I am not absorbed in the plurality, but in the oneness, I am absorbed behind the plurality. So, Yama Dharmaraja says, the one who sees plurality will have insecurity. And the one who sees non-duality will always feel secure. Therefore, whether I am secure or insecure depends on what? Bheda Darshanam or Abheda Darshanam. It's a very, very big revelation. Normally, what we will think? Whether we are secure or insecure depends on our bank balance, number of homes, number of children, number of relatives, friends. We generally think that our security depends on our possessions. But Vedanta makes a very shocking revelation that security has nothing to do with any one of them. It doesn't do with what you have, but only depends on your own perspective. And if one changes one's perspective, one can get from security to insecurity. And as easy as, there's a very example, you know, if a wave looks upon itself as a wave, it will feel insecure only, because wave is mortal. But if the wave can change its perspective, and instead of claiming I am a wave, it can start practicing I am not a wave. Waveness is only an incidental attribute of me, but I am nothing but water. Once the wave thinks that it is nothing but water, then the wave is ever secure. By a sheer change of perspective, based on understanding, the wave can say, I am the immortal water. And so Yama Dharmaraja makes a very beautiful statement here. He says, Yaha iha nana iva pasyati. Suppose a person sees plurality, nana, nana means plurality, in this world, identify with the perishable body, the mortal body, then what will happen to him? Mrityoho mrityum apnoti. His life is a tragedy because he goes from death to death. It can be actually interpreted in two ways. In one life itself, he will go from death to death. Even though death happens only once in a life, the imaginary death that happens several times for everybody. As it is said, the courageous man dies once, whereas a man of fear, he dies million times. And therefore, mrityoho mrityum apnoti, goes from death to death. That is one meaning. Or, he goes from death to death. According to our shastras, death is not only once. Since we take repeated janmas, death is also going to be repeated so many times. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So, we have died several times earlier and will be dying also several times in future. And every time we are born, we have to go through this fear all the time. So, as the age advances, the fear becomes more. And when any of our friends die, we feel we are also going to be in that list sooner. Life is miserable. That's what we think. So, mrityoho mrityum apnoti. In short, samsaram anubhavati. That person always goes through samsara. So, what is the remedy? Is given here itself. The one who sees plurality goes through mortality to mortality. So, what is the remedy? Do not see plurality at all. Then we will wonder, when I open my eyes, I see only plurality everywhere. I cannot just resign to the fact there is no plurality at all. Does it mean that I have to close my eyes all the time? Or welcome cataract perhaps? Don't see plurality means do not see plurality as the ultimate truth. see plurality as only a superficial difference, nama, rupa, karma, but see oneness as the truth. And it is not tough job at all, because we are doing it actually regularly. When we handle different ornaments, we see the differences among the ornaments. Even though we see the differences, we protect the ornament because we see the essential thing obtaining in all ornaments. Sarvatra swarna darshanam. And how many swarnam? Ekam swarnam. Only one gold appearing in different forms. So you see differences, but in the back of the mind, the awareness of gold is never forgotten. In the same way, a wise man, he handles plurality but never forgets the oneness of oneness behind all of them. And he is ever secure. Mantra 11.
Manasai vedamaptavyam nehananasti kinchana mrityoha samrityam gacchati yaiha naneva pasyati.
This is also another important shloka. And Shankaracharya, he quotes this very shloka often, very often in his commentaries. And in this, the second line is almost the repetition of the second line of the previous shloka, shloka number 10. In the previous mantra, what it was? Mrityoho samrityum apnoti. Here instead of apnoti, it is gacchati. Both means the same only. And so the second line has the same idea as we discussed in the previous shloka. So if a person sees plurality as real, then he will travel from death to death. And then if plurality is not the fact, then what is the fact then? Iha nana kinchana nasti. This is very, very often quoted. Neha nanasti kinchana. Considered to be the essence of the Upanishad, Kathopanishad. Neha nanasti kinchana means no plurality at all. There is no division at all. Division belongs to what? Belongs to nama rupa. Substance is only one. Like all bangles, all chains, rings, they are all different. But these differences belong to the superficial name and form, nama rupa only. Behind that, the stuff of all ornaments is only gold. Similarly, the stuff of the entire material creation is one non-dual consciousness. And therefore, nana kinchana nasti. Here also we have to very carefully note, the Upanishad says there is no plurality even in the present. The very is, that asti. Grammatically, the verb asti is in present tense. So that means what? According to the Upanishad, even now there is no plurality at all. There is only advaitam. It is not that after death or anything. Even at present, right now. This is a very, very important thing, because generally we think during sadhana there is dvaitam. These are all various misconceptions from the Vedantic angle. So during sadhana we think there is dvaitam, and by constantly practicing the sadhana, dvaitam will one day merge. And I will reach a time when the whole world of plurality will merge and I will have advaitam. That is what we think. And that will happen in nirvikalpaka samadhi. That is also another revelation. And what is the, that is the misconception of many people. And the Upanishad says, we are not going to go from dvaitam to advaitam. If so, the universe, the Upanishad will have to use a future tense. Right? Then there will be advaitam. That's what it should have said. But the very fact the Upanishad does not use future tense means, in the past there was advaitam, in the present there is, and in future also, there will be only advaitam. Therefore, we are never going to reach advaitam, but it is an eternally obtaining fact. And if at all one goes to reach advaitam, reaching advaitam happens only in this manner. In which manner? Dropping the notion that there is dvaitam. Because we all have that notion now, that is dvaitam. So reaching advaita means just merely dropping the notion of dvaitam. This notion is an intellectual problem born out of what? Born out of ignorance, ajnanam. So the dropping notion is figuratively called reaching Advaita. This dropping notion. So one should not ask, if I drop the notion, will I reach Advaitam? One should not ask that question. By dropping the notion, you won't reach Advaitam because it was, it is, and ever it will be. And therefore, reaching Advaitam is in the form of understanding. It is wisdom. It is removing the misconception. Just as the wave changed from mortality to immortality. By what? Wave did not do anything. There was no transformation in the form of the wave. Imagine the wave has a life. It has to do only one small job of changing the perspective. Instead of taking itself to be a wave, it has to take, I am water. It has to own up the fact, I am water. Therefore, iha nana idanim api nasti. Now the question is, if jnanam is the only method of going from dvaitam to advaitam, mortality to immortality, then the question is, how to get that jnanam? That will be the next question. And the question, so the Upanishad says, that is also very, very important. Manasa eva idam aptavyam. Jnanam has to be obtained with the help of mind alone, manasa eva. So kindly do not dismiss the mind. Don't drop the mind. Don't make the mind non-functional. And that is why any form of meditation where the mind is stunned or made inoperative, we do not recommend at all in Vedanta. Because by stopping the mind, how can you get any knowledge? So we can never stop the mind. If you don't get knowledge with mind, how are you going to get it without the mind? So with my eyes, I could not see. Therefore, I removed the eyes. No, you don't remove the eyes. You improve the eyes. You improve the eyesight. That's what we do. So don't stop the mind, destroy the mind or stun the mind. The idea of mano nashaha, etc., Vedanta never entertains. The word manonasha has got some other technical meaning. The Upanishad says, mind is the most important instrument in gaining self-knowledge. Therefore, he says, manasa idam aptavyam. This knowledge, this advaitam alone is the reality. Idam jnanam. It has to be obtained through what? Manasa eva. By mind alone. If the mind is not required, why should we purify the mind? That is the funniest thing. Why should we purify the mind at all if it is not required? If I am not going to use the mind, why talk about purifying the mind? Why to get viveka, vairagya, shamadi, shatka, sampattihi, values, devotion? Why should we get any of them? All these are values for the purification of the mind alone. If the mind is not required for jnanam, why should one waste one's time in purifying all this? So mind is a must for Atmajnana. Then naturally a doubt will come. If not, I will create it. For example, if people don't have that doubt, let us just pose that out. In Keno Upanishad, it is said, Yen manasa na manute. In the Taittiriya Upanishad also we have seen, Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. Atma cannot be known through the mind. Yan manasa na manute. Manasa na manute. Here the Upanishad says, manasa eva, only through the mind. There it says, even by the mind you cannot. Here, once through the mind. So, in the Mundaka Upanishad it says, yeshonu ratma chetasa veditavyaha. The atma has to be known through the mind only. Now, which one is correct? Is Taittiriya Upanishad is correct or this one is correct? You can gain the knowledge through the mind or you cannot gain it. It's either through the mind. That's the question. So our acharyas have discussed the seeming contradictions of between the various Upanishad statements and have given several answers for that. We will see two simple answers here in this case for this discussion. There is one complex one which we will not see now. but we will only see the one of them. So when the Upanishad says that you cannot know through the mind, yato vacho nipartante aprapya manasa sakam, it means that you cannot know through the ordinary mind, the unprepared mind. Actually, we have gone through this discussion earlier in some other context. So when the Upanishad says it can be known through the mind only, it means it has to be known through a qualified, prepared mind. How do we know that? Because in the Kathopanishad itself, it was said earlier, drishyate tvagriyaya buddhya 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 sukshmaya. Sukshma darshibihi. We have seen this sentence earlier. Agriyaya sukshmiya buddhya. With a specially prepared mind. And what is the preparation? Karma yoga prepares the mind. Ashtanga yoga prepares the mind. All the values, they prepare the mind. So in fact, whatever religious activities one does, they all prepare the mind. That is, they are supposed to prepare the mind. So there is no contradiction. You cannot know through an unprepared mind, you can know only through a prepared mind. This is one answer. The second one is, the mind has got two roles in gaining knowledge. I am using the word mind very loosely here, because you can take it as manasa, manaha or buddhi, whichever, antakarana. That is the idea. So a mind serves as the locus of knowledge. It's a place where the knowledge takes place in the form of vritti parinama. That's how. So it is called a mental thought modification. And for gaining knowledge, we use different instruments. For example, eye as an instrument of knowledge for knowing colors and forms. Similarly, ears and all. So we have different instruments of knowledge. But whatever be the instrument of knowledge, mind is the locus. When I gain the knowledge through the eyes, what is the locus of knowledge? Only the mind. So, shabda jnanam, sparsha jnanam, all those things, mind alone is the locus. And among the several instruments, mind also serves as one of the instruments also. It is not only the locus, it also serves as one of the instruments. So, it has double role. When we use reasoning, for example, mind serves as an instrument of knowledge also, logic. So, mind serves as an instrument of reasoning as well as the locus of knowledge. At the end of the reasoning, when we come to a conclusive knowledge, what is the locus? Again, mind is the locus. So, when it comes to Atmajnanam, we have to ask the question, what is the instrument and what is the locus? For example, for the form, various forms and colors, what is the instrument? Eye. And what is the locus? The mind. For sound, what is the instrument? The ears. The locus? Again, mind. For reasoning, what is the instrument? Mind. And what is the locus? Mind alone. So for Atmajnanam, what is the instrument and what is the locus? Here alone, the Shastra says, for Atmajnanam, Vedanta Shravanam, Guru Upadesha, that is the instrument of knowledge. The sense organs cannot be an instrument of knowledge. Even your reasoning intellect cannot be an instrument of knowledge. Naisham tarkena matirapaneya. Logic will not help. We saw that earlier. And so the Upanishad negates the reasoning intellect as an instrument of knowledge. You cannot use the intellect. And what is the instrument then? Guru Upadesha Shravanam. We call it Shabda Pramanam, Vedanta Pramanam. That alone is instrument. So mind is negated as what? As an instrument it is negated. But even though the mind, the reasoning intellect cannot serve you, through Guru Upadesha, when the knowledge has to take place, you need the locus of knowledge. The instrument may be different, but what is the locus of knowledge? Shastra says, you require the mind alone. As what? Not as an instrument, but as the locus of knowledge. You require mind as the receptacle, as a fit and patram. So mind is required as what? As a locus. Not as an instrument, as a locus. So it is not required as a reasoning instrument. And therefore, manasa eva, with the help of mind alone, you have to gain this self-knowledge. Because mind alone is the locus for every knowledge, including Atmajnana. So, manasa eva idam aptavyam. And if you gain the knowledge, what will happen? You will have a change in perspective from Veda darshanam to Abheda darshanam. And when this perspective changes, you have traveled, as it were, from mortality to immortality. That is, from samsara to moksha, you have traveled. So that is this, the essence of this shloka. Shloka 12. Angushta matra purushaha madhya atmani tishtati ishano bhutavavyasya natato vijugupsate etad vaitate. So in shlokas 12 and 13, Yamadharmaraja, he reiterates the jivatma paramatma aikyam. So, the oneness of the Jivatma and Paramatma. So, the essential identity of the individual self, the microcosm, the Vyashti, and the universal self, the macrocosm, the Samashti. So, this Aikyam is revealed once again in the Shloka. So, first the nature of the Jivatma is pointed out in the first line, Purushaha. Purushaha refers to Jivatma. And where is this Jivatma located? Madhye Atmani Tishtati. It is also located in the center of the individual body, Atmani. Atmani, he means Sharire. Normally, it does not mean body, Atma, Sachidananda Atma, but here it means the body. So, Jivatma is located in the center, in the heart of the body. That is why when any office or any building is in the center of the city, we say it is the heart of the city. So, Atmani Madhye, the Hridaya Deshe, Tishtati. And who do we say that Jivatma is in this Hridaya? Why do we say, for example, this Jivatma is in the Hridaya, in this heart? Really speaking, Jivatma is the consciousness. And consciousness is not located in any place, but still is presented as though located, to indicate that Jivatma is the witness of your thoughts, all your thoughts. So, Jivatma has to be understood as the consciousness principle which is aware of, the illuminator of the conditions of the mind. So, Manasi Sakshi Rupena Vartate. Sakshi Rupena as a witness. The witness of what? The thoughtful condition of the mind during Jagrat and Swapnavastha, and the thoughtless condition of the mind during the deep sleep, Sushupti Avastha. Both of them are known or not known. Known by the conscious principle, the consciousness which is the Sakshi of the mind is called Purushaha here. And then according to the Shastra, the mind is located within the heart. It is not supposed to be in the brain. If so, it will be on top of the body. Mind is located in the heart, in the physical heart, according to Shankaracharya. The heart belongs to the sthula shariram, and the mind belongs to the sukshma shariram. Now, within this body, take the body as a temple. Actually, in Mundaka Upanishad, it said, Manomayaha prana sharira netha pratishtonte hridayam sannidhaya tadvijnanena paripashyanti dhiraha ananda rupam amritam yadvibhati. The beautiful description is given here. The body is like a temple. Hridayam is like the sanctum. In the inner heart, there is the subtle mind. In the mind, there is this consciousness. And what is the definition of consciousness? Illumining whatever is happening in the mind. Now, since the mind is supposed to be within the heart, what will be the size of the mind? Even though the mind does not have a size, if we have to give an imaginary size, what will be its size? Whatever will be the size, whatever will be the size of space obtained in our heart. Now, the question is, what is the size of space within the heart? Then what is the size of the heart? It is the size of our fist. Normally, the size of the heart is like the size of our fist. If the fist is the size of the heart, how much space will be within? We can say that the space is that much to accommodate one's thumb. That is the space within the heart. So, the size of the space is one thumb. So, within the space is mind. Within the mind is consciousness. And so, the Upanishad says, consciousness is as though of the size of the thumb. Angushta parinamaha. Parimanaha. So, angushta matraha. Of the size of the angushta. Angushta means the thumb. Is the jivatma which is located in the body. And what is the nature of this jivatma? Ishano bhutabhavyasya. The thumb size is only as though the size of the jivatma. If it is as though, then the question is, what is the real size of jivatma? If it is as though the size, then what is the real size? Upanishad says, Ishanam bhutabhavyasya. The jnani, which is also the size of the jivatma, which is also the size of the thumb, is really speaking the all-pervading Paramatma only. Ishanaha. Ishanaha here refers to Paramatma. Who is the controller of Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karta of Bhuta Bhavyasya, the entire creation belonging to the past and the future. We have to include the present also. In short, Jivatma seems to be limited, but really speaking, it is limitless Paramatma only. So, we have actually seen many examples earlier. When we talk about the space within the part, we see only limited space. Only one or two quarts can be accommodated in a part. We talk about the limited space, within the part, we call it part space. But when we make an inquiry, the expression limited space is only a delusion, we understand. Because we see the space as limited because we are talking about the space obtaining within the part. And if we make further inquiry, we find that the space is neither inside the part nor outside the part. But all the parts are within space. All the parts are within the space. In the same way, initially we talk about limited consciousness within the heart and limitless consciousness outside. And ultimately we say there is no question of consciousness within or without. There is only one consciousness in which all the withins and withouts are there. So, where is Jivatma and Paramatma then? There is only one Atma. So, Ishanaha Bhutabhavyasya. Jivatma is Paramatma. And this Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam is revealed. And this mantra is Mahavakya mantra. So, any mantra which reveals the oneness of the Jivatma and Paramatma, they are known as Mahavakya mantras. And then the Upanishad says, Tataha. Once I know that I am not a limited Jivatma, but I am identical with the limitless Paramatma, then what is the benefit I get? Na vijugupsate. I will never feel insecurity at all. I will never feel insecurity at all. Nijugupsa means seeking security. As long as I take myself to be the body, I'll seek security. The fact is, never secure is ever insecure. Every time we go out and come back, we have to offer actually a special prayer. Thank God we have come back when we go out. Actually, we are trying to get security for the ever insecure body. That's what we are trying to do. So, which we will never succeed in gaining. And the only security is what? Recognizing the fact that I am not the body, I am the consciousness obtaining in the body. And yetadvaitat, this consciousness is your real nature, which you wanted to know through your third question. That's what Yamadharma Raja says to Nachiketas. So, tat refers to the third bone. So, Even Nachiketas might have forgotten perhaps his third boon. But not Yamadharma Raja, the third boon being Atma Swarupam. Mantra 13. Angushtamatra Purushaha Jyotiriva Adhumakaha Ishano Bhuta Bhavyasya Sayevadya Savusvaha Etadvaitate.
This is another Mahavakya mantra re-emphasizing the Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. So Purushaha Angushtamatraha. The Jivatma is seemingly confined to the body. The Jivatma seemingly is confined to the body. So this is a natural misconception for people because we experience consciousness only within the periphery of the body. So all over the body I feel consciousness. Up to the tip of my nail also I feel consciousness. So Brihadaranya Upanishad says, Anakagraha. And someone asks, is the consciousness beyond your finger? What will be our answer? Consciousness stops within the periphery of my body. And so seemingly the Jivatma is finite, is limited. So Angushtamatraha, located or seated in the heart, in the Hridayam. And what is the nature of the Jivatma? The consciousness. It is Jyotihi Iva. The consciousness is compared to a flame, a jyoti. And what type of flame? Adhumakaha, a smokeless flame, which means a bright flame capable of illumining everything. Similarly, consciousness is capable of illumining everything. In the Shastras, the term light is used in a technical sense. Light is defined as that in whose presence things are known. That is the definition of light. In whose presence things are known. And if you go by that definition, then every sense organ is compared to light. Because in the presence of the eyes, the forms and colors are known. In the presence of the ears, the sounds are known. So every sense organ is comparable to light. And extending that to further, only if the mind is there, you can know things. So in the presence of mind, things are known. And so even mind can be compared to another light only. So if we extend like that, the ultimate light is the conscious principle only, because in the absence of consciousness, even sense organs cannot see, cannot perceive, and mind cannot do anything, cannot know anything. So consciousness is called Jyotisham Jyotihi. Jyotisham Jyotihi. And so it is compared to a flame. The flame expression is only a figurative expression. So let us not look for any flame or any jyoti. We cannot sit in meditation and look for some jyoti to come. No such thing will come. And smokeless flame indicates the brightness, the illuminator of all. It is Adhumakaha, means the one without smoke. Figurative. We cannot sit in meditation and look for some jyoti to come. And this Jivatma, the consciousness, which illumines everything in all the three avastas, Jagrat Avastha, Swapna Avastha and Sushupti, is none other than Ishanaha. Ishanaha refers to Paramatma. So this Jivatma is none other than Paramatma, which is Bhuta Bhavyasya Ishanaha. We have seen the meaning in the previous mantra actually. Bhutam means the past, Bhavyam means the future. Ishanaha. Ishanaha means the controller. So this Eva Jivatma is none other than Paramatma, the controller of all. That means plurality is only apparent and it is not real. Plurality is not real. So if you remember the example of the lighthouse example, we gave the lighthouse example sometime earlier, where there is one central light and around that there is a device, and in that device there are three holes in that device. This is how in a lighthouse. So how many lights are there? Three holes are there.
So when we see from outside, we see three lights facing three directions. In reality, there is only one light, and there seems to be a seeming plurality. And not only plurality is apparent, even the light does not move around, but only the device moves around. Light is stationary. The device with the three holes or three slits, that only moves around. So no question of movement of light. Therefore, this bahutvam as well as chalanam, both do not belong to light. Bahutvam and chalanam. It belongs to something else. Similarly, consciousness does not move from house to another place and another place. It doesn't move. It is like space. It is all pervading. And what really moves? The devices. Devices here means what? The various body-mind complexes. They only move. And there is plurality in the body-mind complex. There is motion in the body-mind complex. That is mistakenly transferred to the consciousness. Consciousness is only one all-pervading principle. Consciousness is only one all-pervading principle. And how long that consciousness will be there? We make again another mistake here. We think when the brain is destroyed, the consciousness also will be gone. That's what we think. Scientists think that the consciousness is a product of brain. And when the brain is gone, the consciousness is gone. When the body is dead, the consciousness is also dead. That's what they think. But Yamadharmaraja says, when the brain is gone, what is gone? The brain is gone. When body is gone, what is really gone? Only the body is gone, but consciousness continues. But I don't experience that. If someone says, we don't experience that because the medium for experience, it is in the form of the body-mind complex, and that is gone. Like the fused bulb. The bulb is gone, but the electricity is not gone. It is still remaining there. And so, sa eva adhya, the very same consciousness, sa eva, the very same consciousness is now sa ushvaha, saha shvaha api. In future also, the consciousness will continue. And so, it was in the past, it is in the present, it will be in the future also. And while Yamadharmaraja says this, he remembers the question of Nachiketas. In actually the chapter 1, the Prathamavalli, 20th mantra, Nachiketas put the questions. What does the question is? Yeyam prete vichikitsa manushye astityeke nayam astiti jayike. That is the question. There is a very big doubt. After my death, do I continue or not? Was the question at that time. Because I don't see anything surviving after death. After I die, I don't see anything surviving. Some people say there is someone surviving. Others say none. So, Nastika Vadaha, they say nothing survives. But Yamadharmaraja says, Saha Shvaha. When the Sukshma Shariram itself is going to survive, what to talk of Atma Chaitanyam? Even the Sukshma Shariram itself survives. So, it is eternal. And so, Etad Vaitate. And this consciousness is the one which you wanted to know through the third bhuvan. Mantra 14. Yetodakam Durge Vrishtam Parvateshu Vidhavati Evam Dharman Pritak Pashyan Tane Varu Vidhavati. So, in this concluding two mantras, Yamadharmaraja wants to emphasize that Dvaita Darshanam leads to mortality. Advaita Darshanam leads to immortality. That's what he is trying to tell. In Mantra 14, Yamadharmaraja says, Dvaita Darshanam, the seeing division, plurality, leads to mortality. So, Dharman Pritak Pashyanna, in the second line. The word dharman means, it refers to jivatma. So in this context, the word dharma is not purushartha, not dharmartha kama moksha, that dharma. But dharman pritak pashyan means jivatma bhutva darshanam. Bhutva darshanam. Jivatma bahutva darshanam. ஜீவாத்ம பௌத்த தர்சனம், சீயிங் எவ்ரி ஜீவாத்மா டிஃபரண்ட் ஃப்ரம் அனதர் ஜீவாத்மா, பௌத்வம். சீயிங் ஒன் ஜீவாத்மா ஹேஸ் லாட் ஆஃப் புண்ணியம், அனதர் ஜீவாத்மா ஹேஸ் காட் லாட் பாபம், தஸ் கைண்ட்ஸ் ஆஃப். ஸோ திஸ் தர்சனம் பஷ்யன் தானேவ அனுவிதாவதி, ஹி வில் பி ரீபார்ன் எகெயின் அண்ட் எகெயின் இன் டு த வேர்ல்ட் ஆஃப் ப்ளூராலிட்டி. சச் அ பர்சன் தானேவ த வெரி சேம் வேர்ல்ட் ஆஃப் ஜீவாத்மா ப்ளூராலிட்டி அனுவிதாவதி வில் பி பார்ன் எகெயின் அண்ட் எகெயின், புனரபி ஜனனம் புனரபி மரணம், பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் தி துவைத தர்சனம். அண்ட் டு கன்வே திஸ், யம தர்மராஜா கிவ்ஸ் அன் எக்ஸாம்பிள் ஹியர். யதா துர்கே விருஷ்டம் உதகம், இட் இஸ் லைக் த ரெய்னி வாட்டர் poured on the slope of a mountain. Parvateshu vidavati, that water gets divided into several small streams and then gradually the water gets absorbed in the mud. So it gets divided, gets dissipated, and it gets destroyed also. So water divided is water destroyed, whereas the very same streams of water get united together. Gradually, they become into a bigger and bigger river. And eventually, they become such a huge river that never gets destroyed. That is, unity is strength. That's what he says. Division is destruction. So, just as the dividing waters dissipate and disappear, similarly, the Jivatma who sees division will get destroyed. So, Jiva Dvaita Darshanam leads to immortality, whereas Advaita Darshanam leads to immortality. Mantra 15, the last verse. Yato dagam shuddhe shuddham asiktham tadrigeva bhavati evam munervi janataha atma bhavati gautama. In this shloka, Yamadharmaraja says, Advaita Darshanam leads to immortality. Here the Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam is revealed through an example here. So, Jivatma is compared to a glass of water, Shuddham Udakam. And Paramatma is also compared to water, perhaps like a ocean. But what is common in both? Both are water and both are Shuddham also. When Shuddham Udakam, Shuddhe Asiktam, when pure water in one container is poured into the pure water of another container, Asiktam means poured. When it is poured, Tadrigeva Bhavati, will not be able to differentiate one water from the other. They become indistinguishable one. In the same way, through Vedantic sadhana, what do? The Jivatma water, we are as though pouring into the Paramatma water. And this, by this pouring sadhana, the Jivatma and Paramatma, they become indistinguishable. So he says, Asiktam Tadrigeva Bhavati. Both become identical, both become inseparable, they become indistinguishable. Eva, in the same way, evam atma bhavati gautama. Oh gautama, gautama is again another name for Nachiketas. Similarly, atma becomes one for a wise person. That means what? The adjective jiva behind atma in jivatma and the adjective parama behind atma, paramatma. When both the adjectives are removed, they become only one Atma. Evam Atma Ekaha Bhavati. For whom? Munehe Vijanataha. For a wise person. Munehe Vijanataha means the wise person who knows. And Munihi. Munihi means the one who has got Sasravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasana. The one who has done that. So, Mananat Munihi. Definition of Muni, Mananat Munihi. Manana means inquiry, analysis, Vedanta Vichara. So for a wise person who has done Vedanta Vichara, Atma Ekaha Bhavati. And in this example, we get some hint also. Yamadharmaraja said, actually, Shuddham Jalam poured in Shuddham Jalam becomes indistinguishably one. That's what he said. That means what? Both must be Shuddham. Condition is that. Similarly, if Jivatma and Paramatma should merge, both should be Shuddham also. But of these two, Paramatma need not be purified because it is pure already, Paramatma. Only the Jivatma requires the purificatory process, and that is why the sadhanas are many. And in this example, we should note another thing also. The merger of two waters from one cup and another, it is a physical event which happens in time. Now, reading this example, one should not think that Jivatma is sitting here, the Paramatma is in Vaikuntha or Kailasha, I have to purify myself and then I will go and merge with that Paramatma. So, this idea may come from this example. We should remember, in the case of Jivatma and Paramatma, merger is not a physical event that happens in time. It is not a physical merger. Why it is not possible? Physical merger is possible only when two things are physically away. A river can merge into a ocean because there is a distance. But we have seen that Paramatma is all pervading. And so it is very much in this individual also, individual's jiva also. Then where is the question of Jivatma traveling and merging? So in the case of Jivatma and Paramatma, the merger is the knowledge that there is no division between the Jivatma and Paramatma. That is merger as it was. So the dropping the notion of difference, the misconception of difference, that is figuratively called here as merger. So any notion belongs to the intellect, and so merger is not a physical event. It is an intellectual event in the form of dropping the notion. And how do you drop this false notion normally? By right understanding. And the understanding is an event happening where? In the intellect. Therefore, the intellectual understanding should take place. And because of that, the intellectual false notion should go away, should not be there. And when the notion goes away, I no more want to merge into Paramatma because I am Paramatma. I was Paramatma. I ever will be Paramatma. Therefore, merger means what? Jnanam. Jnanena Veda Nivrittihi that Eva Aikyam Ityuchate. And it is this Aikyam that is going to happen for whom? Munehe Vijanataha. For a wise person, such an Aikyam takes place. In the case of an ignorant person, the Aikyam is there or not? It's a very tricky question. In the case of an ignorant person, is the Aikyam there or not? In case of an ignorant person also, the Aikyam is a fact. But because of his ignorance, he disowns this Ekatvam. And therefore, there is a notional distance caused by ignorance. In the case of a wise person, the notional distance is gone. And therefore, he says, I was immortal Brahman. I am immortal Brahman. Aham. Nitya Shuddha, Nitya Buddha, Nitya Muktaha. So what is most important thing? One must become wise. One should become a jnani. And what about Karma Yoga and all other yogas, etc.? They are all only preparations for getting this wisdom. And culmination of all sadhanas is getting this wisdom only. And with this particular section also is over, in which Yamadharmaraja established Advaita Darshanath Muktaha, Mukti, and Dvaita Darshanath Samsaraha. So, by Advaita Darshanam, one gains moksha, and by Dvaita Darshanam, one comes back to Samsara. We will see more of this in the next webinar. Yo Veda Dausvara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Nasya Parasamaheshwaraha Sri Krishna Namastu.